The America's Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and it's always a privilege to come your way every Saturday evening. And we thank God for this wonderful evening. For the last 4 weeks, I've had Pastor Billy joining us, and we've had very, very insightful discussions and issues in our secondary schools and what the SU is also doing to help. And tonight we are continuing. He is not able to join tonight, but we still have another SU rep joining, so the conversation still continues in that vein. And you know, we are now addressing the issue of the parenting, because we know the challenges now. So what do we do? I mean, is it a dead end case? Is it too late? Can something be done? So we are on the side of what parents have to do and the parenting model we have to look at and all that. So this evening we'll be talking about that, and I believe you are going to be blessed. You can share with your friends to listen for online tuning, and then Spirit FM online for I think Radio Garden too. You can get Spirit FM there as well. Okay, but first let me just read this interesting news. Because of the discussions the last 4 weeks, I've reduced the news so that I can make some time for the SU discussion, because I really want a lot of emphasis on the time, so it's like we can make more time from it. So I'm just taking one news or one discussion, one topic for tonight, and then we get into the main discussion. Alright, so thank you for tuning in. And no, this headline says that the Banner Group, they've been doing research for years in the US, and it's a Christian research group. So America needs spiritual renewal, as fewer than half of Americans believe God exists. And that's quite a worry. A new survey has found that more than half of Americans do not believe God exists or that he affects lives, prompting one prominent researcher to highlight the need for sweeping national repentance and spiritual renewal. The Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University released the second installment of its American Worldview Inventory 2025 on Wednesday. The research found that overall, 60% of Americans do not believe God exists or that he affects lives. Wow, that's serious. Nearly half of the self-identified Christians, 47%, and a slightly smaller share of theologically identified born-again Christians, 40%, said the same. George Banner, the director of research at Arizona Christian University, said of the findings, "The more time you spend thinking about what this research tells us, the more you are likely to conclude that nothing short of sweeping national repentance and spiritual renewal can save America from itself." He added, "It seems obvious that political, economic, legal, or institutional improvements are not what America needs most desperately today. Those cultural arenas merely provide prescriptions that address the symptoms, but not the disease." The report, he said, "is evident that God has been reconfigured into our own image in order to fit within our personal comfort zone. Among Americans who believe that God exists and affects lives, plurality, 38%, define God as the most important element in their lives, while 23% describe God as extremely important in their lives, and 18% characterize God as having a very important influence in their lives. 14% of respondents who believe in God agree that he was somewhat important in their lives, while 5% considered God either not too important or not at all important. The remaining 3% place their lives on God's influence in their lives into the category of it varies. Just 20% of those who believe that God of the Bible exists and affects lives told pollsters they had an intimate and interactive spiritual relationship with him, with constant two-way communication. That's very small, 20%. Another 45% classified their relationship with God as close, defined by frequent prayer and trust in him to do what is best and right. Then 11% of those surveyed identified their relationship with God as arm's length, whilst 18% said he exists and is capable of all things, but do not have personal interactive relationship with him. The remaining 7% of the respondents remained uncertain whether or not he interacts with people or did not know how to describe their relationship with him. One third, 33% of those who believe the God of the Bible exists and affects lives define God as having a total influence over their lives and choices, whilst another third, 33%, reported that he had a lot of influence on their lives, which often reflected his guidance. 19% of respondents who believe in God contended that he had some influence over their lives, which sometimes reflected his guidance. 6% pointed to God as having not much influence on their lives and indicated that any influence he did have was hard to identify. 4% credited God with having no identifiable or conscious influence on their lives, while the remaining 3% maintained that his influence on their lives was consistent or unknown. When asked what they believe God provided to them, a majority of those who believe in God cited him as a source of hope, that's 72%, comfort, 71%, peace, 65%, guidance, 64%, compassion, 60%, joy, 60%, mercy, 58%, and purpose, 54%. Smaller shares of respondents listed God as a source of miracles, 47%, opportunities, 41%, security, 38%, responsibilities, 33%, and power, 31%. Less than one quarter of those who believe in God think he provides identity, 24%, and boundaries, 19%. The fact that more than 3 out of 4 people who believe God exists and is influential in their lives nevertheless do not get their identity from their relationship with him explains a lot, Barner declared. The fact that 2 out of 3 people who believe in God exists and influence do not believe their connection to him comes with responsibilities delivers additional insight, he said. Discovering that fewer than 1 out of 5 of the people who acknowledge God exists and influence are aware of any life boundaries than God provides to them explains even more, he concluded, reflecting on the connection between the research and the trials and tribulations, as well as the multi-phased or multifaceted demise of the nation. According to Barner, finding that 2/3 of those who believe he exists and is influential nevertheless says that God has not given them power to serve him and purpose his agenda reveals even more about the deceptions and the weakness of the American Christianity, and the list of startling insights into the Christian faith that bears little resemblance to biblical teaching and to God's intent could continue. The data in the report is based on responses collected from 2,100 U.S. adults in January. The survey has a margin of error of plus or minus 2 percentage points. You know, I've been saying it all the time when I read these surveys on this program, that a lot of it is, if we are to do similar surveys in our country, I don't think the margin of errors will be, the variation will be that much, because we are following this Western society's culture very closely, very, very, very closely. So when the negativities are increasing there, it's quite worrying, because the reflection is seen here. We are seeing parallels in a lot of things in American church, in the African church, and in Ghana. Let me limit ourselves to Ghana a lot. And I mean, for instance, let me take the space of the prophetic now, and it's a whole mess. I mean, this is one whole. So I was having a chat with someone. I said, I mean, they've made the prophetic space look so messy and so noisy. It's something else. But it's not only Ghana. I mean, it's similar, it's happening in other countries. But Ghana is something else. But come to think of it, there's something just not right about the state of the church. And it's a bit worrying, seriously, it's a bit worrying. I mean, and I think it's high time we start reflecting on, we go back to the basics of Christianity. Because this cannot be how Christianity should look like. I mean, I just wonder how the unbelievers see us now. I mean, it's as if, what's this joke that you call Christianity? It shouldn't be so. We should, because instead of we being the light to the world, it's as if now the light is fighting it. I mean, pastors are insulting each other. Pastors are this. Prophets this. Oh no, it's very, very untidy. And the effect of some of these things is the output of the low standard of Christianity we have in our society today. Christians just calling themselves Christians by name, but not by character nor by lifestyle. And it's very unfortunate that that's the effect of some of the things we are seeing in our schools, because the schools are part of the society and the society is part of the church. So when the church fails, the offshoot is what we are seeing all around us in our schools, the mess in our schools, the mess in our society. It's all part of the failure of the church. And it's very unfortunate, but the reality is there. That's the reality. Something is not right. We need a revival in our system. Seriously, we need it, because if this is how the church is going to go on, then it really leaves a lot of worry, because then the generations ahead, because if the early church, I'm talking of the Acts, the apostles era, if this was how they started Christianity, it would not have survived though. No. 2000 years or whatever, 20 centuries, Christianity would not have survived if this was how they started the church, with this level of behavior that we see now. But unfortunately, if we don't correct it now, then there will be a decline, because clearly, if the mess we are seeing in the body of Christ continues, then the effect is the shallow type of Christianity, the low level type of Christianity, the lukewarmness being the standard of Christianity. And then it goes down. Then by the time you have the next generation taking over, it's going to even get, there will be no words to describe. So I believe as believers, we should all be concerned about what is happening. Of course, it's not all that gloomy across, but there are still, good churches, of course, in the system. But largely, if we talk about this, we are talking of the generality. But I believe it's time we start addressing this from individual ways. The least we can do is start praying. I think we are not praying much for the body of Christ in Ghana. We are not praying much for our pastors and all that. But we have to start it, because clearly something is amiss. Clearly, no. Something has just gone off amiss. And I believe gradually, as we begin to pray, things will begin to fall in line. And the separation will still have to happen. The sheep will be separated from the goats anyway. So the earlier they are separated, the better. They will know that, yes, these are the true ones who are leading the flock and not misleading them. All right, so this is Eben again. We are in Spirits FM Studio 18.3 in Kumasi. Greetings to our listeners, various parts of the country, Cape Coast and all that, and outside the country, Accra. Greetings to all of you. Okay, so we'll be continuing our discussion. We've been looking at a lot of the negatives that we've had in our secondary schools, and it's something which I think people have been worried. I mean, the messages people send and the people I talk to or who have been listening, and it's a lot of people have been exposed to the shock of, like, wow, so these are the things happening in our schools. We had no idea and all that. Yes, it's good to know what is happening, but more importantly, what can be done to mitigate, what can be done to, as parents, on the side of parents, what do we need to do to improve our relationship with our children, in solving this problem, in minimizing the effects on their lives and all. It's quite a serious issue that we cannot just pretend it doesn't exist. The issues exist, yes, but then there's also the solution to it. But oftentimes we want to pretend as if, some want to pretend as if, oh, it can't happen to my children. But we've had reports of parents who have had extreme shocks of their lives when they got to know the things their children were involved in, the pretense and all that, thinking all was well and all. So we should, I mean, as I said on one of the editions, I have this friend in the US who has this slogan that, yes, she trusts the children, but her children, but she doesn't trust them. I mean, oh yeah, so yes, I mean, she trusts them out of the love of a mother to child, yes, but she doesn't trust them because of the system we are into. So yeah, she's trying her best to bring them up in the fear of God, in a godly home and all that. But you know, when this, you are in a very evil society, like in this case in the US where she is, I mean, you have to sleep with one eye open because you know, yes, you are doing your best at home, but someone too is trying to poison them out there with all sorts of evil information. So you have to balance that act of parenting, godly parenting, and then the evil society, all these are happening. So that's how we have to be seeing some of these things. Yes, so yes, trust them, but still don't trust them. I mean, we have to balance that combination. All right, so is it Brother Sammy? Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, Papa.
Yeah, thank you for joining and replacing Pastor Billy this evening. He called that he couldn't make it, so yes, you are coming. Yes. So I was okay, because when I saw the call and he said he wasn't, I said, call for training.
You know, I mean, that's how sometimes God, he comes in to also bring on board what he wants to do. But let me greet our listeners, our cherished listeners, and then thank them for always listening. In fact, personally, I have been following your programs.
Oh, okay.
You know, I remember last year around September, July, thereabout, way through October. What, I mean, we had a series of programs, and I remember one of the nights I was going to drop one of our leaders home, and so we have to be listening to you at the time we were going home. And we were so much encouraged. Because of the election that was upcoming at the time.
Oh, okay.
And how you were sharing some statistics like you just did and all that. It was like, hey, what program was that? I said, we have been listening to it almost every day. And you know, all these things, they help. I mean, they make us focus. The information you share, it helps us to regroup again, to rethink, to retreat, and to refocus on what God has given to us. And so maybe let me thank our listeners for always listening to us, being faithful to listen to us.
Thank God. You know, so from your experience in the SU, your outings to schools and all that, from your perspective to us, as you executive and all that, what is your number one call on parents now, based on what you know is happening in the schools? I mean,
normally when these questions are being asked, the first point you want to bring out, because you sort of hear them, every day, you are careful. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to change it, but it's so glaring and so clear that the number one that I want people and parents to know is making time for their children. You know, in our messages in the house, in our discussions with people, they keep mentioning some of these things. And so if you're not careful, just like anytime you are giving a message and before you end, you are encouraging people to read the Bible and to pray. So if you're not careful, you think that these points they're just some curiosities. We are mentioning them in our point, but it's one of the needed commodity as parents, I think we should look at in our attempt to mitigate the challenge that we have now, the social ills we have in our schools now. Time for
you children. Know, I'm laughing because I was doing some work today and I was interacting with an AI system and I asked this question. The response the AI gave me is sad. That parents are hooked to their devices and they've left their children to be on devices on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I go through, I forgot to bring my, I wanted to copy, I just forgot. Yeah. I mean, but I was going through the lines that the AI generated for me. And I was sad because it painted the reality of the issues we have. Because it's like there's a neglect, there's a disconnect. So one of the sentences said that parents should learn to put the phones down and connect with their children.
Yeah.
I said, wow.
Yeah.
An advice from AI.
Yeah, advice from AI.
Put the phones down and connect with the children. Because now we have some homes where even connectivity between parents and children is through the devices.
Yeah. So the child is just sitting there. I mean, he will not speak to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And he will only want to text the message to the person. Can you get me that thing from my bedroom?
It's serious.
I mean, it's sad.
It's because I was looking at the lines and I realized, see, this issue, I've been doing some reading, and all on the along this because of the digital parenting. There's a conference coming up, which I'm one of the speakers. So I was just doing some research and all that. And it's sad because the disconnection is too real.
Yeah.
Parents and children.
Yeah.
Parents have no time.
Yeah.
And the saddest part of it is for those who don't have time and they are out of the home. Yes, they're out of the home. But those who are in the house and are at home with their children but still don't have time for the children, that is the worst of it. Because they are at home, but now the devices have also captured them. So they are at home, but busy with TV, busy with phone, so there's still no connection. So it's as though you are not at home. And so let's address the issue of parents making time.
Yeah.
If we've addressed the consequences of this in the last 4 weeks, the negatives and all. Yeah. So we are not going, people know, we've listened, they've listened to Pastor Billy and all that. And I believe, yesterday there was a crusade that was done for drug addiction. So I passed by and the speaker is, eventually I also get him to join our program one of the night because he's into that field of drug addiction, the teenagers and all that. And, listening to the 3 days, the things he was saying, some of the documentaries he showed, it's very sad. But one striking thing, the first night I watched the documentary he showed, an interview that was done by Naba Namoa, and when it came to the Alaba Tinka area or something. And, but the comments most of the people were making was, you could see those that parents at issue and all, but they relegated, they just when they complain and they want to come out of it, they want to come out of it, the indication of the God factor, they know it's God who can save them. So they talk about rehabilitation, but they also talk about the God, the God. And I was broken because they know there's a power beyond this drug that can save them. That's the God factor. And now the question is, who is to carry that God factor to them? This is the failure of the church. Because, so I was standing with one of the men who were chatting in. Because you can see clearly that we have failed. Because if the church was to do something about this, the people are willing. But they are waiting for God to save them. But the people who have that power of God to go and save them are also not going. And this is back to that parenting communication thing. This, you have the knowledge as a parent. If you don't interact with that child, and the AI gave me one of the sentences, if we don't teach them, they will not know. So we have the power of knowledge as a parent, the God knowledge, the Christian godly knowledge as a parent, to impart it in the life of the child. So if we don't teach, how would the child know? Say, wow, this is serious. So from your SU perspective now, parents, I mean, parents making time, let's address it, because I think it's a very serious issue.
Also, for it's a serious issue because, I mean, the point I'm going to, I mean, as I'm developing this point, I will be looking at it from two points of view. One as a preventive measure, and also two as a way to either manage the issue or to solve the problem already created. I mean, just last 3 days or 4 days, I mean, I had someone come into my office, a young person. We will not go back to the issue, but I'm just trying to say that the person, this young lady, kept, because I was trying to let her appreciate that no matter what the parents are not doing right, some of the things that she's been through, she was not supposed to go that far. But she kept stressing that even when she intentionally did some actions or put up some actions for the parent to know, now what they're actually doing was wrong, they were not seeing. Because she mentioned that they say that, I mean, then I'm off a man. I mean, are they not making the money for her? That's just last 3 days or 4 days.
Wow.
Are we not giving anything? So now she decided to care for herself so that they will know that, why are you not asking us things again? Why are you not asking for favors? Or, I mean, some of the responsibility we have to bear, so that they will realize that, I mean, there's something wrong.
She needs more than, you know, goodies. The goodies in life cannot compensate for time.
You know, so attention. Back to what you were saying, that now the AI suggested to you that the parents are now connected to the devices and then they've left the children. The fear is that in the next few years to come, if these children also become parents, then the foundation is already weak. Because if the current parents are there because AI and all this advanced technology has gotten them there, and these people, they didn't even have anything. It's like all that, the things that we are teaching in school are even the things that are making them hook up to the devices and other sources but God. I think the next few years it will be challenging. So what I'm trying to say and put across is that the parent, you rightly said, we have the information, we have the power, we have the gospel, but there will be no transformation unless we pass this to them. You know, when I read a passage in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul, when he was talking to his son, Timothy, spiritual son, let me put it that way, and then he said, he was reminding him, so if I remember the faith that was in your grandmother Lois, so clearly your mother Eunice, so clearly you see certain works being done with intentionality by some parent.
A clear purpose
And it appears that for the time being, before Timothy met Paul,
they were doing well, but the full potential of Timothy came when he met Paul.
Yeah.
But I don't think the seed they sowed at the beginning was wasted.
No, he had a foundation.
He had the foundation. So the point I'm trying to put across in trying to develop my point of making time with your children is just to be intentional
about
that it. You want to now get time for them, listen to them. And as you listen to them, you have something at the back of your mind to pass it on to them. You listen to them like a counselor, and to bring, sometimes you don't even have to say anything, but you know that with time, you know what you are trying to do. So that intentionality of meeting our children is what the children they need. Now, when we go to the schools, I mean, the one I just mentioned is just one of many instances I have encountered. I met a young person, the same thing. I mean, this one was at, is it classes or form one? I mean, February, I did a purity campaign program in the schools. And this person, I think it's classes or form one. I am not too sure because some of the schools, they put the upper primary teachers together.
Yeah.
So I've forgotten. But this girl too was saying the same thing, that the parents, mostly they are not home. And even sometimes when they, it's like they don't have that kind of environment where it is so inviting for her to come out with her issues that are bothering her. And when she had gathered the courage to even do that, and they bring it up, the mother will be like, come some other time. So the courage now, which is being sustained, has been killed again. The same issue last Sunday happened in one of the girls' school in Kumasi when we were having a program there. A lady, nice lady, who is now practicing lesbianism, tells us the father is so rich, he's a contractor, he's doing this, but there's nobody to listen to her.
Wow.
So I think also for, let me say that as a preventive measure, let us be intentional in sowing the seed of the gospel in them. I think sometimes we are being deceived, or the devil successfully let us get to a point where we say that the air can cry, more cry, they will get to know God for themselves. But forgetting that some of you and some of us, it is the seed that we heard and we received that actually took us to that meeting that we actually met God. What made me attend maybe SU meeting one day in the school was actually some of the moral things, the gospel I received in the house, that I think they didn't really make effect on me, that made me to go that, at least I will even make my parents proud if I be in this meeting. And I dare, I met God for my life. So I think also I would say that we should be intentional to listen to these children and to talk to them, listen to them, and I think it will go a long way to really help. It's good we are making money. Maybe it will be at that point I will link up to other point I've jotted them down. So let me pause here for the making time with to listen to our children.
And yesterday at the program, the man said something
that
the biggest challenge now is all the children or the youth, the teens who are into these lifestyles and all. The number one factor is broken homes. The number one factor. And I remember reading an article that talked of most of the people in prisons, the number one factor, broken homes. You see, so that's the man was pleading people should ensure they keep their marriages, do anything to let it work. Because you see, as soon as the marriage breaks, the consequence, the chain reaction that follows, it goes beyond what you can imagine. You see, so single parenting is, of course, I mean, credit to, I know single parents who are doing perfectly well. I mean, doing so well. I can say that, see, being a single parent doesn't mean automatically you're going to have, I mean, wayward children. No. My for instance, as I sit here, my dad died before I was born. Weeks before I was born. So my mother raised us up, being the last born, raised all of us up. And all of us, by the grace of God, came out well. I mean, so yes, as a single parent, she was able to raise all of us to school and all, educate and all. So credit to parents like that who, I mean, do very yeoman's job, I mean, doing everything, raising children, the fear of God. But now we're also having single parents who they can do the right thing. But by virtue of the modern society's pressures and everything, so they shirk that responsibility, and it's like, well, now each one for himself type of. So there are parents who don't care about that bringing up the children again.
That's true.
Then they become wayward, they get into all the vices because, just as you've said, the attention is no longer there. If even, I mean, some parents, both parents are failing in some homes, and now one is even off, then you can imagine what happens. Then it's like, so parents, the key assignment on us is to do everything to protect these children.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because if we fail them, I mean, ultimate responsibility comes back to us.
Yeah.
And someone said sometime back, I mean, one of the programs on Spirit FM, I mean, I've forgotten which program, but it's been a while, some years back. The person said that, you see, parents should never forget the accountability aspect of our lives. That we are going to be accountable to all the, for the children that God gave us. And it's as if we forget that aspect, that we'll give accounts of these children. So if God gives you children, yes, it's good news, thank God. But it's not for free. You are going to give accounts.
Yeah.
And one woman in the US said, I mean, there was this man, he died near death experience. He died actually, clinical death and accident and all, but he got a chance, he came back. And he said something that the mother had been praying for years, and the mother had a covenant of God, that God, no son of mine will go to hell. And it was one prayer the mother had prayed consistently from childhood. So even though the son went off and all that, even at death, in an accident, by virtue of that mother's prayer and the covenant the woman had with God that my son will not, he had, I mean, God's mercy sometimes. You can't understand it.
You can't.
So now the man is now fully corrected. Yeah. I mean, after what he went through, this accident, the treatment, everything. See, so some parents have vowed that they will not allow the devil to have a grip on their children.
Yeah.
And I believe that's how we should see it, with that seriousness. Because, you see, it's a warfare. It's a serious warfare. The devil is really after the children. I mean, perhaps you may not have seen it that way, but that's the reality. The devil is after the children. So anything they will do, the demons will do, anything the devil will do to get the children, they are throwing it at us, at them, at us. First breaking the family, being able to penetrate the family system, scatter the parents, confuse the system. Everything is being done to get them. And the least mistake we do, they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just mentioned about the money issue.
Yeah.
So let's move on that to that angle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you were talking, I think still on the miracle that happened to that man.
Yeah.
Because of the sincere desire of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like you said, maybe is it misplaced priorities, or we actually see life different from how our Lord and Savior sees life. Because sometimes we can vow to ourselves that, as for this family, we are even being taught in church and other places that you should tell your soul that you will never be poor. And it so happens because you've told yourself and you are determined to work at it so that you never get there.
Yeah.
So I think we should now begin to see this issue of protecting, fighting for our children to be with God as God or Christ sees the issue.
Yeah.
It's only when we come to that place that the price to be paid for them to get that salvation will not be that huge for us. It's only with that understanding. You know, when we think about the money, the lady was complaining that, I mean, the mother doesn't have time, but as for the mother and the father, all that they are thinking is that the money should be okay with the children. Once we are giving you everything you need, that should be okay for you. Once I'm taking you to the best school, that should be okay for you. But it's so clear, life does not consist in the abundance of wealth.
life does not consist in it. Yeah. And so when I was coming, you know, as I was still brooding over this point, something came to mind. I mean, I was still about sowing the seed in their lives. Mm-hmm. You realize that at a point, it's not working. I think we all get wear out and all that when we don't see the fruit so soon forthcoming. Yeah. And so we give up and all that. But I think I want to encourage some parents who are already doing it and they are at the verge of giving up because mm-hmm. they seem like what we've been preaching and advocating for is actually not working for his case. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
it will work. It's just like now some trees are, by virtue of how they came out, either on a rock or some special environment, now it has become a tourist center. Uh-huh. So some people, their life are going to be like miracle something. Even how their salvation will be, it's for a reason why they are going through what they are going through, yeah. provided you have sown the seed. So we want to encourage parents like that. And then the money. Money is good. We want you to make the money. But like we said, the ultimate thing and price you can give to your child is the salvation that we are talking about. And Kwanje,
yeah.
when you are able to make, I mean, to really say that I gave my child everything, including protecting him or her for eternity mm-hmm. to be with the Lord. I think that is one of the best things we can give to our children. Sometimes we think that all that life is about is all that we see physically.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's how we think until the Lord shows us a glimpse of his glory. If you are so fortunate, then you begin to now say, hey, let me go for the good. Yeah. So parents, we want you to have, if you are not seeing, begin to envision and see that a time will come you may regret that mm-hmm. you are paying a price to make money for your children, but you are not paying a price.
Eternal life.
But yeah. you are not paying a price to actually secure a better place for your children.
Yeah.
And so money is important, but let us also make time for our children and to teach them.
It's serious. I mean,
yeah.
see, the devil has been able to deceive us
yeah.
to set wrong priorities.
Yeah.
That's the, I think, one of the biggest challenges for this generation, having misplaced priorities.
Yeah.
So what is important has become a minor yeah. issue. And the minor issues have rather been elevated to yeah. become the big issues
so true.
We are over concentrating on and all that. And I believe parents should be a bit more circumspect in how we look at these things, because clearly we should be able to see that there's a grand scheme to derail the ideal family.
Yeah.
Let me quickly chip this in. You know, yeah. there's an attack on the family system, for those who may not be aware. So this LGBT and all these things we talk about, it's meant to break the family system.
Yeah.
You see, so the ideal family system, as we know, God created in the beginning, male and female created he them. That's the ideal God plan of procreation and the family system.
Yeah.
Now, the devil wanting to corrupt it has been able to introduce this LGBT system, which clearly goes against the God-given plan, family plan system, male and female created in them. So twisting it to make it look now anything is possible, male, and still you can have children, female, you can still adopt children. You see, all these combinations to make it look like it's ideal to accept all these family systems.
Yeah.
But that's not the God kind of family system he created in the beginning. So if the devil cannot contaminate the family system as he wants it to be done, then the ideal one, the father, mother, children, which is the ideal family system God wants it to be, he will do anything to also contaminate it and destroy it. And that's why they are using anything possible to distort the family system. And one of the biggest strategies, and it's working, is distraction. Distract us from the focus of the family system. So parents are distracted, children are distracted. So it's like there's no bond of unity as a home, as a family. And technology is a major disruptor. I mean, from the television to the tablets, the computers to phones, it's disrupting the family home. And it's very unfortunate that people are still not seeing. And see, the more you talk about it, the more it gets compounded.
Yeah.
So then more things are being added, the TikToks, yeah. the this yeah. is added, the this. And it's very sad that parents are still, when we talk of digital parenting, we address this issue for parents to, I mean, let me just chip this in. I'm starting a podcast, God willing, next month on digital parenting, where every week there will be an issue, we'll be discussing these issues. Wow. So that will be on the podcast channel of Spirit FM online, podcast.spiritfmplus.com. Mm. That's where that will be. And I'll be talking to psychologists, and I mean, SU by all means, we'll be coming. I've been having you on a number of editions as well, because so we'll be having time, I mean, every week addressing that digital parenting aspect, because it has to be addressed.
Yeah.
You see, so let's be aware of the strategies the enemy. You see, the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices.
Yeah.
But it pains me to say that all the time, that this current body of Christ, we seem to be so ignorant of the devil's devices.
Yeah.
So even when now we see his signature, we can't recognize it. So he's running, riot freely in Christian homes.
So sad.
And it seems we can't even see that this is the devil's handiwork. Trying to distract, trying to make us lose focus. So parents, it's sad that you have parents who are alive together and yet cannot come together to raise up children in the fear of God. And so how do you explain this? You see, it's not that one is diseased or disease, but you have parents both alive and yet are of no use in the life of the child. It's a very sad, a very, very sad thing.
It's sad also for the issue of how parents should come on board to solve this issue. I mean, from where I sit, as a youth worker, I think they should also be models to them, a very intentional models to them, like some Christian values should be intentionally modeled to these children, in the house, before they even go to schools where they are independent, sort of, in a way. You know, you talk to these young people, and even sometimes before you talk to them, the way they behave, it's like they lack a lot of even normal values in life.
Morals.
And when they see it in you, they get so attracted. Like, it's like wow to them. You know, I think that when we build some of these moral values in them, it becomes sort of an explosive power against the pressures that the world tries to push to them. Even if it is not really coming from like a supported biblical something, let me not go there. Let me make this general. That when we begin to create an environment where Christian values or normal value, accepted values are intentionally modeled at home, like honesty, being
truthful,
integrity,
no stealing,
some of these things, when you build it in the child, when he goes to the different world or campus, the pressure there, the different environment will begin to fight but that kind of discomfort that he will explain or he will experience or she will experience,
can resist it.
Even if he or she falls, that's where it becomes a seed waiting for another just the scent of water to sprout again. I don't know if yourself you are getting what I'm trying to say. So I think parents shouldn't only talk about it, but they should create that atmosphere for the children to see that the thing we call integrity is what we are living with in this house. Honesty. We should teach them how to be, to sympathize with people. These things, when we teach our children intentionally, I think in a school out there, because if you don't teach your children to be people who are like only so dear, they will be only contentment. If you don't teach some of these things,
these children to be content with what they have.
That's what makes them feel for
exactly
money for
the
food.
Last 2 weeks or so, I was listening to you and Reverend Billy, and how he was sharing how iPhones and some big things have become bait to our brothers and sisters. But if you have taught them these moral values, and though they face the pressure, I think it would do a lot of good an explosive power against some of these things that are trying to infiltrate what you have taught them. We should model it to them.
It has to be taught. It's
intentionally.
When we go the Bible way, you know, there's this thing I've noticed in the Bible. I was studying some time back the Kings, First Kings, Second Kings, and it's very interesting. People can do their own research on this. You take notes that the very good kings and their mother's name, the very bad ones and their mother's name. So I was just going through, and you just ran through. You see the mother's name. See, so further studies realize, you see, kings are very busy. So the mothers were the ones raising these children. So as to whether they became bad, God fearing or bad, either way, it was the influence of the mothers.
Exactly.
And actually, research has shown, some time back, I read one research, Christian Post, some time back, where it showed that mothers have, when it comes to spirituality, in as much as the fathers are the head of the home and all that, research shows that mothers have a strong influence on the spirituality of the children. So it also behooves on parents listening, mothers listening, you have a certain key to the problems we are discussing. You see, mothers by nature of they being the mothers of the children, of course, there is that they have this right, the control over their children by virtue of who they are as mothers. So when that mother is molding spiritual things in the child, it has a very strong impact and a lasting impact as such. See, so So you read Manasseh, the mother's name, the mother's name. So I was like, so the mothers have a strong. So later, when I read that research, I was this confirms what I was reading in the first Kings and Second Kings, how the mothers shaped these kings. So those who were God fearing, you see, majority, you see the mother's name. The bad ones, Manasseh and Co. mothers have a serious role to play in this discussion. Let's decide. You see, the father is the head of the home. But nothing stops the mother from doing spiritual things. Influencing the child, one-on-one conversation, open up the conversation. There are things the children will never open up to the fathers. I'm opening up to the fathers to talk about, but they will gladly do so with the mother. Because of that, you see, that I don't mean every home, but on the ideal, mothers have a bond which is able to make them get opened up to by the children to discuss issues which either they will not tell the fathers. So mothers should take advantage of this control and be able to exert that influence positively. And I believe that's the essence of this whole thing we are talking. Because what's the use of being a Christian? And yes, I was a Christian 20 years, 30 years. And then one day it happens that your child dies and goes to hell. What was the use?
Yeah.
I mean, it will be a very pitiful issue. Because so I believe we should. It pains me that recording, I missed that particular. The man that I said the mother prayed, the Lord, don't let any son of mine go to hell, and had the covenant of God on that issue. I mean, I was still trying to see if I can find it, but that we should begin to think and pray that way, not our children, really claim ownership of our children. That no, devil, you cannot touch our children, because you see. If we don't stand up to confront the enemy and resist the enemy's hand, as for he'll bring the hand. he's not joking, no.
Yeah.
He will bring the hand. He will keep trying.
Yeah.
But it's time we stand up to resist the enemy.
Mm.
And the Bible says, resist the devil and you flee.
He will.
The issue oftentimes it's, we are not resisting the devil enough.
Yeah,
we are not.
Yeah,
we are rather embracing and allowing him free hand.
Yeah,
of course, if you give him free hand, he will stay.
Yeah,
but it's time we take the bull by the horn and resist the enemy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are almost time. So you're closing.
Yes. Let me say that as we are talking about it, I'm hoping and praying that we will not only be talking about it, because it's just like the matter of prayer.
Yeah.
That we talk about it a lot, but only few actually pray.
Yeah.
And those even who pray, only like a number of them pray aright. You know. So even as we are discussing this topic, it's my prayer that someone will be encouraged, and the person will not sit up and say that no, none of my children will ever land in hell. Yeah. And it shouldn't be just a wish or something you said it a day, but
we stand by it and pray.
You stand by it and you pray consistently.
Yeah.
I have a testimony in that as I end, one member of my church, this woman, by the grace of God, she discusses a lot of things with me concerning the family and all that. And one of the child was coming to Kane Westy, and I know how she has raised the children in God fearing. I was their Sunday school. I taught them every Saturday discipleship. The guy comes to Kane Westy. Even Kane Westy, we're still doing online discipleship. I was still doing it with them. Then for a short while, I think I got busy. We have some season where we are very busy, I guess, to September because of camps and all that. So I was not hearing from him. The next time I heard from him, he was asking me for money around 1,005. What for? He couldn't tell me the truth. It was that other disciple who told me that the guy is actually asking for money.
Betting.
For betting.
Chai.
He has used the fees for betting. That was first year, first semester.
Hey.
But thankfully, as I speak now, we sort of try to correct the issue and all that, and we give glory to God that the guy has really, I think first, all that we were doing were like seed we were sowing. So that comes back to the point we raised in the first place. Let us not give up. Let us be consistent in our covenant with God. Let us pray it through. Let us expect God to move like we are expecting him, and let us give God a word that none of our children should ever land in hell, and let us watch that the Lord will do it in our days.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Sammy. And parents, I believe this is an encouragement that we shouldn't give up. Perhaps, it seems all hope is lost. You've tried and done all your possible best and things are just not working. But, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. It's a spiritual principle that still stands. So you sow the seed, do the training, keep praying, he will not depart from it. It may seem like the tree is, turning and trying to bend and all that, but eventually it will still come back aright and he will fall in line. And so let's not give up. Let's still keep praying, but let's encourage ourselves as parents. As you listen to these editions, you share it with your friends, discuss it where possible. And pastors and elders and deacons who are listening to us now, please, it's time we get back to the drawing board with our youth churches. What's being taught? You see, it's time we remodel the topics that are taught at the youth churches. Seriously, I'll be talking about some of these things in the podcast and all, because the system has changed. So we cannot just go on the same tangent we've been going on and we are not getting the right results. It's time we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in the right things that addresses the right issues that this world is confronted by. All right. So I believe we should do what we have to do as parents. Prayer, number one. The communication is so important. Communication, communication, communication. But you see, now we are communicating to gadgets instead of the gadgets being just side issues. Now, I saw a picture recently, a very sad picture of robots that are drawing and human beings that are looking at phones, and robots are drawing. So you see, the things that human beings should be doing now, robots are doing it for me. You see, we are losing what makes us, the humanity in us. Yeah. We are losing it to technology.
Yeah.
And technology is doing the things that we should be doing. And you see, so we are so engaged and getting glued to it that It's so sad. Look at the phone addiction now. The addiction for phones now has reached alarming proportions. And it's sad that adults, inclusive, all included in this. You know, recently I saw a video of my senior brother shared it sometime. And it's like a girl standing, 20-something year old, 18, young lady, holding a phone, standing by the wayside. You know, in this Spain, they have towns where they do, they release the bulls, yeah. And then they'll be running. The bull will be chasing them on the road. Seriously, I don't see the wisdom in that game, that sport, whatever it is. And so the bull passed by the girl, slipped. And so when the bull got up and the men have they've all run, this girl was standing at the roadside. And the girl was busy staring at the phone. And this bull came to guard the girl and then killed her. So moved, threw her up and her neck hit the ground, died instantly. She died. But you see, this is what we call situational awareness.
Yeah.
She was so busy and in the phone that she couldn't even see what was happening with the earphone, earpiece on the head, of course. So her mind, she had no idea a bull was moving in front of her. And it's like, what's this addiction for phones? God save this generation. All right, so listeners, thank you for tuning in. This is Eben. I believe you've learned something. This evening has been recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group. And I believe, God willing, next week we'll be continuing this discussion as we draw closer to the end, but parenting aspect of it and all that. So thank you, and God bless you.